Two questions. What are you learning about trouble and suffering from Scripture? What are you learning about sin from Scripture? And I'm just going to take a few minutes and sort of talk why you're thinking about these things. So try to be active with me. This would be a great thing for all of us to be thinking about together, but we simply don't have the time. Let me begin with suffering. Suffering and sin, these are the two most prominent matters that are in a person's heart. How does Scripture speak? Let me begin this way. Instead of thinking what are ways we can help another person, let's think first about how does the Lord help us in the midst of our misery? How does the Lord come to us? Here is the non-negotiable as we're considering that question. This is what the Lord says. And this is going to be so important in your care for one another. The Lord says, speak to me from your heart. Psalm 62:8 I've alluded to this, so important in our care for others. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. Speak to the Lord. Don't just speak about the Lord. Speak to the Lord. It is the most basic expression of a needy person, of a humble person, of a person of faith. All, you know, they're all three ways of saying the same thing. But it is for all of us, it's something we want to grow in. Let me give you a quick illustration. A few years ago, I had panic attacks. It's not a real long story, but I won't give you all the details. The worst one, it woke me up in the middle of the night, and it had the sense of an earthquake that the landscape was going to be different after this particular earthquake. And so I got up in the middle of the night, sat in the living room, tried not to wake anybody, and began to go to places. Well, I began to sort of scour Scripture. I was very encouraged by that. That's where I turned. What does God say? And so I went to Philippians 4. Don't be anxious. Think about these things that are good, noble, true, and tried to think about those things. And after a few hours, the sun finally came up and had to do some other things. Nothing helped. You know, and the Scripture doesn't necessarily promise to take away our misery right away. But I was at least pleased that I went to Scripture. It wasn't until later that day where I realized for that entire time, I was considering what is it that God says, but I never spoke to him. I.e., Lord, I don't know what's going on. I feel like I'm going to die. It makes me feel guilty that I don't have some enthusiasm about that. And it's not that I don't want to die, but I don't want to die in this particular way. Help. I don't even know how to speak about these things. That is one of the most important things we can do in the midst of our hardships. We don't just go back to our catalog of Scripture and review it. We speak to the Lord. And in some ways, that animates everything we've talked about today. Why do we say, help me to know? Why do we know another person? Because this is how our God works. That's the nature of the kingdom of heaven, where we have a God who knows our very hearts more than we will ever understand them, but for some reason, he has determined that in his house, we put words onto those things of our hearts. For some reason, that process of us speaking to him is something that he values. And as a result, that's what we do with each other. It's a very chatty sort of house. It's, speak to me. And we speak to him. Like I mentioned, the Psalms have all kinds of different layers of use to them. But one is, they're all a response to the Lord saying, speak to me. And here's some of the ways you can speak to me. You got the knack of it? Now start writing your own psalms. The knack of it is, remember who you're speaking to. It's the one who created the ear. It's the one who hears. And now pour out your heart. And there are no rules for it. And sometimes you might even say, I feel like you're not even listening to me. That is all fair game. And if you don't think you're allowed to say it, I'll say it on your behalf. And there's some psalms that start darkly and the end darkly, but not many. Like there's one psalm like that. Otherwise, there, in the midst of the psalm, the darkness, there is some intrusion of recollection of the goodness of the Lord, which for us, we infuse that with, but this is what I know, that he who didn't even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, why do we think he's going to be stingy with us now? That's a paraphrase of Romans chapter 8. So, in the midst of suffering, what does Scripture say? Scripture says a ton of things. One thing it says is, speak from your heart to the Lord. Speak to the Lord. Might there be any particular scripture that helps you to speak to the Lord? Such as this, why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? And on, this is Psalm chapter 10. How can in the midst of our misery, how can we find a text of scripture that opens us to the very heart of God in other parts of scripture? So the question is, what are you learning about suffering and misery personally? What kind of scriptures are becoming more lively for you? And how does the Lord minister to us in the midst of our challenges? One other thing with suffering, it has to be this, that in the Old Testament, suffering seems to be, there aren't too many prosperity preachers out there, I don't think, except in Africa, in Texas. But we are instinctive prosperity gospel kinds of people. And a normal read in the Old Testament, it would suggest that. You do the right thing, everything goes well. If things are going bad, it's because you've done bad things. There are exceptions to the rule in the Old Testament, but that's the normal reading of the Old Testament. It's sort of health, wealth, and prosperity. Job identifies something different, but that seems like a more minor theme. Well, everything changes in the New Testament. Suffering felt like an expression of the judgment of God in the Old Testament. But once the king goes through, who reaches out to you and takes on the most arduous shame and suffering imaginable, it changes the experience of suffering. Because now the lover of your soul, the king himself, has gone through this. In some ways, it raises the reputation of suffering. And you see with the apostles, there's a sense of bring it on. With Paul in particular, with shame and utter rejection, bring it on, because all these things point me to the one who has taken shame on himself. So what am I doing? I'm just reminding you of some of the ways we're going to get these footholds in Scripture that take us further in. Scripture is God communicating to us. In the same way that knowing a person takes us farther in, Scripture takes us farther in to the very heart of God. And when we dig deeper and deeper, we get to Jesus. And somehow, as the Apostle Paul says, all the questions of life, one of our goals is to ask this question. What difference? How can I pray for you? What does Scripture say? Here's the way Paul would do it. Here's the struggles of life. How does the death and resurrection and the glorification and the sending of the Spirit, and the hope that we have now that we're tucked away in Christ, how does that speak meaningfully to these very struggles? That's it. that there's nothing more profound than we're offering to a sufferer. And the answer might be, I have no idea. But then we pray according to the promises of God and say, Lord, bring the gospel of Jesus to bear on our sufferings in such a way that the person of Christ, he begins to, I'll go to Paul in 2 Corinthians 4. Paul talks about our light and momentary troubles. He knows suffering. He's gone through the worst of suffering. So he's not a guy who minimizes suffering. Our light and momentary troubles, somehow what he has found in Christ is so glorious, it seems to more than counterbalance the weight of the sufferings of this world. Those are the kinds of things we're praying toward. One other thing, the question, how are we growing in our own sins and speaking hard things to each other? That's a great question, but we're recognizing we're growing in all these things, so we don't have to resolve them right now. One other thing with suffering, I find this to be very precious. The Lord never minimizes the sufferings of another person, ever. One time I encountered this when a person's pygmy hamster was going to die, and she was just completely distraught about it. And I'm sharing some of my sins now, and I'm doing it at the end of the day rather than the beginning of the day. But it's a pygmy hamster. Pygmy hamsters have a lifespan of, 3 months? And they're pretty low on the animal totem pole, it seems to me. And I knew this hamster was going to die, and she was going to be upset, and I was going to be a very poor pastor for her. Like, go out and get another pygmy hamster. Get 20 of them. And God very graciously just began to reinforce my own knowledge that he is the one who never minimizes our suffering. We might say, buck up to ourselves, or people have it worse than you. But there's something just a tad diabolic about that. Because you know what happens when you buck up? When you say, hey, come on, stop complaining. Don't be a weenie about all this. You know what happens? You don't call out to the Lord. You don't call out to the Lord, which is the fundamental expression of our humanity. It's the fundamental expression of our faith. Oh, it's just a flesh wound. If there's a way that we minimize our own sufferings or allow somebody else to minimize their own sufferings, it's no big deal. Well, one of the most extraordinary things in Scripture is the Lord never compares your sufferings to another and says, well, here's 100% is what I give to my son, to Jesus himself. And everybody else gets like 90 or below. Pygmy hamsters, they get 2% of compassion. He never says that. He gives himself the things that move you, move him. Da dot, da dot, da dot, da dot, and so on, and we grow together. And Scripture is this endless treasure, as well as knowing another person being an endless treasure. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word. And there's more and more and more. And may our conversation with somebody even today be refined for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thanks. Thank you.